So there, Samaria is now a city. Samaria becomes the capital of the north, and they will eventually become known as Samaritans. There you go. Now, here's the big problem. Read verse 25 with me. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. That's pretty bad. If you know about the kings before Omri, for the Holy Spirit to tell us here that he was worse than the ones that were before him, that's really bad.
Did God tell the Jews not to get married to another Gentile?
To anyone who wasn't a believer in Jehovah God, yes. Now, if they were, they could. You know, Rahab did. You know, Rahab wasn't a Jewess. They're called proselytes in Acts. At the day of Pentecost, you'll see proselytes there, and that's who they are. In this case, the Jews would receive a Samaritan only if they would recant and repent and join back with the true religion and the Jews in the south. That's how it works. Now, what was the way of Jeroboam? We're in back to Blue Letter Bible, and we read, because in our text, remember what you saw in the text, it says, for the statutes of Omri are kept. And then you go back here and you see that Omri, I didn't read the last verse, did I? No, we're going to see it. Verse 26. Did I have that up there? I did. I just didn't read it. Go back. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Look at verse 26 now. Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, verse 25, and did worse than all that were before him, worse than even Jeroboam. But look what it says, verse 26. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin, and to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanity. So Omri is following in the wrong footsteps. He's following in the footsteps of Jeroboam instead of the word of God and the prophets. It's kind of like you have sincere people who say they believe in God, but they choose to walk after the Mormons and Brigham Young and Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
And then you have people who choose to walk after some really crazy cult leaders like David Koresh and Jim Jones and that sort of thing. They may be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. And it's disastrous. Omri chose to follow in the footsteps of Jeroboam. It was disastrous. So what was the way of Jeroboam? Well, you go back to Blue Letter Bible and put in the word Jeroboam. Spell it right. That's important. Jeroboam, and you'll see the list come up, and the first number of references are in 1 Kings 11 and 12. So you turn over to 1 Kings, because we're going back in time. You'll go to the left in your Bible. And you go back to 1 Kings 12, beginning of verse 26, and you're told what Omri did because he walked in the ways of Jeroboam. What's it say about Jeroboam? Verse 26, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If verse 27, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Now think it's through. Jeroboam was handpicked by God when he split the kingdom. And he promised Jeroboam that if you walk in my ways, you'll live a good long life and your sons will be on your throne. This is unbelief. Jeroboam simply doesn't believe God's word. And he starts saying, wait a minute. If all these people go down to the temple in Jerusalem, they'll decide to stay with David's throne and Rehoboam, and I'll lose my kingdom. After God has promised them, he wouldn't lose his kingdom. So what did he do? He made up his own religion, like most Americans. Look at verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. Aren't you glad when you pray to your God, he doesn't go, moo. They're worshiping cows. Now, I love cows, milk and steak and all that, but I'm not going to worship them. and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods. Just like Aaron, you know, back when Moses was up on the hill and Aaron made, all he did was throw some gold in there and out came this calf. He says the same thing. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What a slap in the face to God. God, Jehovah, brought them out. And they said, no, it was these cow gods that did it. Mm. I guess that would be their praise and worship song. Moo. Verse 29:30 says, and he set the one in Bethel. That's the the other he put in Dan. So it's Dan, I believe, is the northern part. Yeah, and Bethel would have been the south. So he's covering all bases. He's giving them, he's got two big churches, mega churches. Verse 30, and this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priests, look at this, of the lowest of the people. I hate to tell you, but that describes most of the so-called priests in churches today. That's why so many of them end up in prison. Because there's no priesthood today. We're not supposed to have priests. So just like Jeroboam, any religion that has a priest, it's a made-up religion. It's not true religion. Which were not of the sons of Levi. Those are the only people who are supposed to be priests, sons of Levi. Then 32 says, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he'd made. Verse 33, now read that with me. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Highlight or underline those words. He had devised of his own heart. One of the dumbest things you can ever tell somebody is, follow your heart. Your heart's wicked. Amen. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Pray and follow God. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the ditch. And whoever's telling you to follow your heart, they're the blind leading the blind if you follow them. So there you go. Omri was following the made-up religion of Jeroboam. It says, in all the works of the house of Ahab. Back in our text in Micah. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house, all the works of the house of Ahab. That's not good. It's not like they just did some of the bad things the house of Ahab did. So holy living is out. They're having their gay parades. Everybody's pride all month of June. There's pride. When the Bible says pride goeth before destruction. And America gives God the bird and says we're proud of our sin. And we're going to march through the streets for an entire month. F you, God. That's what America is saying to your God right now. And God's going to kill them all if they don't repent. Amen. Mark it down. Bunch of cocky, arrogant fools. Sodom is sin. Love is love. It's not love, it's lust. God is love, and he gets to define it. And God says that two men or two women is not love. So if you say otherwise, you think you're smarter than God. You should have stood up when I gave you the chance. Who ran the house of Ahab? Here we go. Jezebel. A woman who runs the house, if there's no man around, is doing the right thing. A woman who runs the house when the man won't run the house is doing the right thing. But when a woman is married and a man wants to be the leader and show leadership, and she still runs the house, that's Jezebel. There have been times where women had to step up and be queen because all the men were a bunch of wusses, a bunch of useless, spineless cowards. So, Deborah had to step up in the book of Judges. Remember that? But when there is a man, when there are men, the good women won't try to run things. You see how that works? When there are good men who want to lead and want to provide that kind of leadership, good women, they become the old saying, behind every good man is a great woman or a strong woman. I got me one. I wouldn't be able to do what I do without her.
Amen.
But one of the reasons we get things done is because she's not always tripping me or trying to get in front of me. But I'll tell you this, if you got a good woman and she's a godly, Bible-believing woman, you better listen. Because she'll give you good counsel. And if you don't listen, you're going to miss out on some good counsel.
Amen.
Doesn't mean I always do everything her opinion, But I always listen. And that's the way it's supposed to work. And if it worked that way, it's fine. But Jezebel steps in and she just runs things. In her case, not a defense, but Ahab was this just a limp-wristed little, So it was easy for her to step up. Look at 1 Kings 21:25. 1 Kings 21:25. If you're there, read that. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. See that? That's no excuse, but it's telling you, Ahab was as bad as he was because his wife was so bad. And she was such a bad influence on him. She stirred that up in him. There are a lot of people who do a lot worse than they otherwise would because of their mothers. I know a lot of young men whose mothers are the reason they got as bad as they did, because they are enabling them. They never say no. They never try to stop them. They're always making excuses for them, covering up their sin, stirring it up. That's what Jezebel did with Ahab. What sort of works did Jezebel stir up? I'm glad you asked. 18. Go back. 18. 1 Kings 18. And the first four verses. I'll start reading while you turn there. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in where?
Samaria.
Remember where that started? And Ahab called Obadiah. Not, this isn't the prophet, it's another Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Meaning he governed, he was like the chief of staff in our government today, is what he would, the role he would play. He was chief of staff for Ahab. But here's the thing. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. So that's pretty interesting, huh? But what happened? Read verse 4 with me. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Jezebel is slaughtering the prophets. And most of these fall under the sons of the prophets, and they would actually were in schools. The schools of the prophets, with the potential of maybe becoming a prophet. And Jezebel was killing them. That's pretty wicked. That's worse than Hillary. 2 Kings 9. Go over there real quick. 2 Kings 9, 7 through 10. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master. Why? Read 7 with me. And thou shalt the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. God finally going to take her out, and he's avenging the blood of the prophets that he had killed. Verse 8, For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. There's only two sexes. One of them pisses against a wall, the other can't. And him that is shut up and left in Israel. Verse 9, and I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. What did he do? He had killed Jeroboam, and he'd wiped out Jeroboam's whole house. And like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. Read verse 10 with me. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. And guess what happened? Jezebel died and the dogs licked up the blood. Jezebel was so evil that she's a symbol of wicked female false teachers all the way to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Go back there and look. Revelation chapter 2. And Revelation 2:20. This is in the letter to the church at Thyatira. We'll read 20 to 22, but read 20 with me if you're there. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, obviously, this isn't the same Jezebel we've been reading about. He's using the word Jezebel to describe women who usurp authority that doesn't belong to them and teach falsely, and it usually goes to sex. And you look at these false teachers, the women today, so many of them are getting into issues of sex and compromising, or like a lot of them, they just won't touch it. They won't preach against sexual sin because they got a lot of perverts in their crowds who are giving them money. See? They want to chase off all the perverts because they lose their money. Yeah. Verse 20, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, sex. And she repented not. Verse 22, read that. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Sex again. That is what is being referred to when we read in Micah 6:16 when it says, and ye, talking about his own people in Israel, ye walk in their counsels. What counsels? Everything we've just been reading for the last 20 minutes or so. That's exactly what he's talking about. Amen. And that's how you can study your Bible on your own and go and see these things for yourself and learn a lot. God's word is out. Man-made belief is in. Now, what's that mean to you and I today? Here's a few examples. Corrupt Bibles. They water them down, change them so that they'll be more palatable to the carnal, fleshly mind. That's what it's all about. And they can make money off of you. They'll get you to buy, oh, I got an NIV, but I need an ESV. I want to be able to compare the two. Then I want to get a Living Bible or a Message or something that's a paraphrase. And then when I got all those, I might as well get another one that has all of them under one cover. And so I buy one of those parallel Bibles. And then, oh, but then they got this thing called the Amplified. Oh, that'd be neat. And then they got a Bible, it doesn't matter what translation, for women. And oh, I'm a dog owner, so they get a Bible, an NIV for dog owners. And then, and it goes on and on and on. And if you're in the military, they got military Bibles. And then after a while, they came out with not just a military Bible, but they got one for the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, and probably Space Force now. And it's all just to sucker people into buying bad, corrupt Bibles that they can make a lot of money off of. And the NIV, every 10 to 15 years, they come out with a revised edition. The Southern Baptists came out with a Holman Christian Standard Bible. So, 100,000 churches filled their pews with hardbacks, and all their people were buying them. And then about 10 or 15 minutes, years, I almost said minutes, years later, they came out with they dropped Holman, and now it's Christian Standard Bible with some updates and such. So then they threw all those away, filled up their pews again, and all of the good Southern Baptists went out and bought the CSB to replace the HCSB. Think of the millions of dollars they raked in on that scam. Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about, the love of money. psychobabble. Oh, you've got ADHD, and you've got the PhD tells you you have ADHD, so you go on meds. And I can't keep up with all these phobias and all these diagnoses. And so from the time you're about 5 years old, they can put you on Ritalin. And that screws your mind up, so the rest of your life you're not sure what really is going on, and you're just willing to take anything to make you try to feel normal. It never makes you feel normal, so you try this one for a while, wean off that, try that one for a while, and then most of the people end up going on the street and buying what they're selling. If you wonder why fentanyl is killing so many people, it starts in the schools with Ritalin. About 1 to 10% of the people taking that stuff need it. The other 90 to 99% don't, but they are sheeple. They are little chattel that they can make billions off of. That's all those people mean to the big pharma. I believe in modern medicine. I just don't believe in abuse. Amen. That's what's going on in churches. You go to Xenos, and that's what they tell you. You need psychotherapy, and then probably need to be on drugs the rest of your life. And if you don't know that, you don't know people who go there.
That's true.
But that's just one of many denominations who are doing that to their people. God's word is powerless. Why? Because they don't have God's word. They have corrupt Bibles. And the Holy Spirit doesn't work anymore. Why? Because a lot of them aren't even saved. But the ones who are believers, they're so screwed up that the Holy Spirit is grieved and hindered in their lives. How did Christians get by for 1950 years without all that dope and the tens of thousands of psychotherapists? How did they do it? Pseudo-scholarship. It's another man-made, just making stuff up. The agape phileo love thing and the eye of the needle. We've talked about that. And I mean, I go on and on with all the garbage nonsense so-called scholarship that everybody gets all hung up on. It's nonsense. And sodomite morality. Telling people they can find fulfillment in some wicked same-sex relationship which robs them of parenthood. And if they do have kids, a lot of times it's not really their kids. They have the in vitro thing with somebody else doing it for them. And then they try to adopt the kid. They don't have a natural affection to begin with. They end up either abusing the kid, neglecting the kid, or dumping the kid, or killing the kid. So on and so forth. I go on and on about that. But I want to look at 2 Timothy 4, New Testament. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. We're exactly where they were in Micah 6. Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, prophesied. And he said, beginning of verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, not all that other crap. Preach the word. Be instant in season when it's popular, out of season when it's not popular. We're in the out of season. And I'm going to, and I hope you're with me, going to keep preaching it. Don't care how out of season it gets. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Read 3 and 4 with me. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Welcome. You're there now. And they want teachers to say it's okay to be gay. It's okay to kill that baby if you don't want it. It's going to hurt your lifestyle, cramp your style, you know, hurt your party lifestyle, or maybe cost you some money. Just kill it. I showed you Sunday that preachers, so-called, are doing it. That's what they're telling their people. And they're blessing same-sex marriages among Catholic churches now. The United Methodists are now going to start doing them. The Evangelical Lutheran and the Presbyterian Church USA have been there for 10 years at least doing them. And they have those people as pastors. So what do you think they're going to teach? all about lusts. And then you have the word faith Pentecostal, lusts. That's right up there with greed. They lust after things and money and wealth, and that's all their preachers ever talk about, is money. It just pick your poison, really what it comes down to now. In response, a holy God of truth can only react in one way. Back in our text, read it. You'll see it there, verse 16. That I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Meaning Israel is going to reach bottom of the barrel. It's going to get as bad as it's ever been. And it happened. In the north, it happened in 707 B.C. We're not going to take time to read it, but you can write down the reference in 2 Kings 15, 27 to 29. And God allowed Assyria to come through there and just destroy the northern kingdom. Tiglath-Pileser and so forth. And then we close in verse 16 with these words. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. You see, God judges all sin, but when you call yourself after his name and then you totally misrepresent that and live like the devil and bring reproach to his name, you had better watch out. He is not going to put up with that. And so these people, James said, let not many of us be masters, for we will receive the greater condemnation. These fake preachers are going to the hottest parts of hell after they die.
Amen.
God is not going to put up with what they're doing. They think they're getting by with it. I've talked to them, a bunch of arrogant jackasses. You can't talk to them. Quote scripture all you want, that doesn't mean anything to them. Be as nice as you want, doesn't matter. And the world will know that God doesn't put up with such rebellion, even from his own people. One of these days, he'll settle the accounts. And this is my closing thought, is Psalm 1, if you want to turn there. We'll close there.
Amen.
Psalm 1, 6 verses. I'll have you read the even with me. Listen closely. Listen closely to the words as you read this. I'll read the first verse and you join in the even. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. If you just want to see that sometime, go out on a field that's full of dust or leaves or something, and when a good wind comes and blows it all away, that's what it's saying. That's the ungodly. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And we offer to the world, all you have to do is repent. Repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you. He has shed his blood in death on the cross. And when he died, he paid for all sin. But it is only appropriated to those who will come to him and receive it by faith. He rose from the dead. He's not a dead Savior. He's a risen Savior.
Amen.
He's conquered sin and death. And if you will turn to him, trusting in what he did on the cross to pay for your sins, believing on his resurrection, knowing he's going to raise you from the dead one day, you're saved.
Amen.
At that very moment, you're saved. You don't have to do no works, not a works, lest any man should boast. You work after that because you're saved, not to be saved. At that moment, you receive eternal life. What a thing that we offer to the world. And what a thing to see most people today totally rejected. But it doesn't have to be true about anybody in this room, anybody watching online. It doesn't have to be true of anybody. Jesus will save anyone who will come to Him. Amen? So even as our own nation goes to hell, we must remain faithful and lead those who will follow to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our main mission in this life. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word and what You've taught us. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who helps us understand. We thank You for the fellowship of the saints and to have people come together desiring to learn Your Word and desiring to live a life that is pleasing to You and that might be something You could use to bring others to salvation as we preach the gospel. Lord, may You find us faithful for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.